Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Her daddy looked a lot like him. That's not the way I had him pictured. But Santa was much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Now Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Her daddy looked a lot like him.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with author Kristen Lagenness.
So my name is Kristen Lagenness. I'm the author of Will Travel for Vegan Food, a young woman's solo van-dwelling mission to break free, find food, and make love. Professionally, I am a marketing consultant for restaurants and food businesses.
How about a plug for your business, huh?
Yeah.
Your marketing restaurant business, because let's be honest, we are in times of transition and change, and people are looking for new ideas, and you might be that person in Sundance, Wyoming.
Yes, exactly.
We have affiliates in Sundance, Wyoming. So go ahead. What business do you do?
Yeah, well, it's called Kale Media.
Kale?
Kale Media, like the vegetable. Mm-hmm. And I help small business owners and entrepreneurs learn how to promote and market themselves primarily through the digital format, so social media and their websites and things like that.
What do you do for your book now? You travel. Explain your book. How about this?
Sure.
Tell me about your book.
Sure. In 2011, I quit my job. I moved into a van, got rid of almost everything that I owned, and I set out on a journey to try to eat at every vegan restaurant in the United States. And so the book is a memoir about that journey. It's about the personal side of the project, the people that I met, and how the road trip quite literally changed my life.
How did it change your life?
Well, that's in the book. You'll have to read it.
I see. How about a two-sentence type summary of...
Sure.
What type of person were you before, and what type of person were you after?
Sure. I was, before I started the trip, I was very an anxious, super type A, afraid of what might happen to me, kind of living in a box type of person. Now I feel like I have a much better sense of the people I want to surround myself with, how I want to spend my time, and what that means for the vegan community as well, how I can share veganism and healthy living. And I wasn't as conscientious about that before I started the trip.
So your transformation that you had internally, was that from the trip or from the food or from both?
Primarily the trip.
Okay.
I mean, the food, I was basically traveling to the food, so I ate anything that was vegan, which meant it wasn't always healthy. So I gained 25 pounds by the time the trip had ended. My body had had enough. It was ready to be done. I mean, 2 years going out to eat for almost every meal will do that to you.
That's true.
And yeah.
Let's talk about your blog.
Sure. Well, the blog was created to pair with the journey. So there's blog posts about pretty much every restaurant I've eaten at. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it's currently documenting my video blog. So I make daily videos of my day-to-day goings-on, and I'm on day 96 today of making those. And so instead of the written blog, it's turned into this video blog now. So those are all found on my website.
And what is the website?
It's WTFveganfood.com.
WTFveganfood.com?
Yes.
Do you have recipes there?
No.
Okay.
Just, I don't make food, I eat it.
You just eat
yeah.
it. Do you have a favorite restaurant?
Yes, my favorite restaurant is Charlie Was a Sinner in Philadelphia.
Okay, and what menu items did you have that you enjoyed?
I don't remember. It was just so good. And I might have had some wine that night too, so that's probably why I don't remember. But it had everything from the fantastic service, great decor. The energy in the place was amazing. It was new at the time I was there a few months ago, and the food was just out of this world.
So when you say that you gained 25 pounds and you only ate vegan food, you shocked me, because mm-hmm. when I went vegan, I'm about, I suppose, about 85% vegan, about 95% now. I started about 2007 when I interviewed Dr. Neil Barnard, and I lost weight right away.
Mm-hmm.
How did you gain weight? What were you eating? What was the, I mean, there's not a lot of fatty vegan food, is there?
Oh yeah, there's tons of fatty vegan food. I mean, if you think about going out to eat at restaurants for almost every meal
yeah.
and having dessert at almost all of them, just the sugar alone, you know, will sugar. Add up. Yes, yes.
Okay, and then I suppose there, like even some Indian food, deep fried.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Falafel's even deep fried.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I get it now. All right, but that was just shocking to me because, friends, family, what are they supportive? Do they embrace it? How does this all go?
Yeah, well, my parents were vegan before I was, so they, you know, thought the journey was cool, although they were sad, or not sad, they were nervous, actually probably sad that I was quitting my job to do this journey, but also nervous for my safety, of course. But my parents are incredible people. They've always supported all the crazy ideas I've ever had. I mean, I grew up actually in a totally different world than I live in now. I rode horses. I went to college for equestrian studies, so totally different life. Oh, no, thank you. And they've always supported any ideas that I've had. And so even though they were anxious about it, they didn't say anything. They just, you know, let me figure it out. And now, of course, they're proud that I have a book and all these things. And in fact, they had both joined me on the road at some point during my travels as well.
Do you, you kind of broke the barrier then. This is a dream a lot of people have, to do what you did, quit your job, go off and follow, not even a big dream, just a dream, you know,
yeah.
just something to get going.
Yeah.
And you figured out a way to make a living on it, or at least make money on it. I guess two-part question. You've created a passion to make money out of. Have you thought of that before?
Mm-hmm. Have I thought that it's what it's turned into?
Yeah, your passion you can make money off of, as opposed to going to some cubicle job every day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's why I've remained nomadic since the project ended. I can't imagine going back to the 9-to-5 thing. Yeah.
And how hard was it to make a living out of it? That's where I'm going with this, is that a lot of people would do the initial stages of what you did, quit their job, go and, you know, whatever it is, but to keep doing it, to actually sustain in today's economy is tough. So I guess to, you know, challenges, advice, you know.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, to get started, I often tell people that you've got to start before you're ready, because you're never going to feel ready to do it. And then even if you take those first few steps, like you had mentioned.
Would you like to meet the author? She's sitting right here. She's in the middle of an interview, but she'd gladly stop. And okay. So you got to get started before you're ready?
Sure, start before you're ready. And then after you get going, it's much harder to keep going, as you were kind of alluding to. But for me, the happiness that I found in collecting experiences versus things and being in one place and getting into a routine that is monotonous, the appeal to have that and what I get out of it, the people that I meet as I'm traveling, is a lot more valuable than having bucket loads of money at this point. Now, sure, I would love to be able to make enough to donate and help other people, which is my ultimate goal, is to get to a point where I can create an experience for someone like I did, because I lived off of donations the first 2 years of my project, so I hadn't monetized it in the beginning. And it's not easy, but I am so in love with my life that I wouldn't change it.
Well, you're sitting here right now, and you have a smile on your face, and you've
got... I'm about to go on stage in 30 minutes.
And you've got a bunch of books sitting out here. So, I mean, this is, you know, I'm very proud of you. I don't
Thank
know you,
you
but
I
it's inspirational.
Thank you.
And tell me about how you make some money then. How can people buy your book? You know, I mean,
sure.
Are you on, obviously, your website?
Yeah, it's you can check it out on my website. It's also on Amazon, and it's on the publisher's website, which is veganpublishers.com. My email is Kristin, and that's KRISTIN at WTFveganfood.com. You can also check out my business website at KristinLajeunesse.com.
And WTFveganfood.com?
Yes.
To listen to the full-length interview with author Kristin Lajeunesse, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Like him. Well, I never saw a dancer or prancer. I never heard the sleigh bells ring. I never saw a red-nosed reindeer like they show on the TV screens. But he sure brought lots of presents, so Santa Claus he must have been. But he sure looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
This week's Christmas music is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on the totally blind singer-songwriter Blind Joe, who was featured on NBC's hit show The Voice as part of Team Blake, or to purchase an acoustic country Christmas, visit his website, blindjoe.bandcamp.com. That's blindjoe.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com, Deadwood's newest legend.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.